Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Show, and we're pleased to say Tommy's, of course, old friend of the show, has come back to join us, and of course, Faversham manager as well. But Tommy, I mean, we were just sitting there, both of us, with the TV on in the background and watching this. Might as well start there first. I know it's not necessarily non-league, but it's just going there with the FA Cup draws, and your side, Spurs, pulling out Aston Villa.
Yeah, toughie. A real tough one. Obviously, their result of the weekend shows what a good manager he is over there. And I think it's a bit ironic. I think they were down the bottom, but is that six on the spin they've won now or five? And they've just catapulted up to,
Yeah.
3 points behind Arsenal. So at least we're at home. Not the, to be honest, Brentford was the first win at home for a while, but. Yeah, you got the home draw. So, but yeah, that's probably I'd have thought the toughest neck and neck. I know there's a few Premiership ties in there, but that one sort of stuck out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just looking at them. I mean, some of the games will go down. I mean, we'll also go through, of course, the Vars. Draw has been done today as well, but we'll start with the FA Cup one, and it's what, Wolves versus Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury must have a chance. Doncaster Rovers versus Southampton, Tottenham Villa, Port Vale Fleetwood Town, Preston North End Wigan, Ipswich Town versus Blackpool, Wrexham versus Nottingham Forest. Is that guaranteed TV game?
Yeah, I'd have thought so. I'd have thought so, mate, with what's going on at Wrexham, and Forest, to be fair.
Yeah, another guaranteed one, Charlton v Chelsea.
Oh, lovely.
Man City versus Exeter, West Ham versus Queen's Park Rangers. Oh, that's another one. I mean, Queen's Park Rangers, if they turn up on the day, that's a chance for them to knock out West Ham.
Especially at West Ham, they
Yeah.
can keep them quiet for a little while in the crowd start, but that's a good old-fashioned fixture that was back in the day, QPR v West Ham.
Sheffield Wednesday, Brentford, Fulham, Middlesbrough, another toughie there. Middlesbrough on a good run. Everton versus Sunderland, Liverpool versus Barnsley. I wonder if Mo Salah, well, I think he's out away anyway, isn't he? In the African Nations, I'm
Yeah.
not sure if he's back by then. Burnley versus Millwall, Norwich versus Walsall, Portsmouth versus my side Arsenal, Derby v Leeds, as they were saying on there, was that a cluffy derby?
Yeah.
Swansea West Brom, Salford Swindon, Borehamwood versus Brackley or Burton.
Unbelievable. That is the odds of that happening, especially when Luke's up there watching the game at night, because obviously you said they had him Saturday, so I
Yeah.
wonder why he was up there. He might have gone up for the draw, but if they've got him Saturday, he's gone up obviously for that, and he's had the added bonus now of seeing them tonight and obviously drawing them in the next round FA Cup. Again, at least they're at home, Bournemouth.
Yeah, and then Grimsby Western Supermare. I mean, the three non-league clubs there, they've got to be disappointed not to pull out
Yeah.
a big tie. And as I was saying there before we came on, you would hope that one day that they would actually sort of get it where, if these non-league sides and they get to the third round, that they're guaranteed like a Premier League team.
Yeah, it's a real shame because no disrespect to the teams they've pulled out. How many games, God knows how many games they've played to get to this stage and to not really get a lucrative deal. The only plus you hope is that obviously if the telly goes there as well, and there's a few more quid coming their way. But yeah, unfortunately, I think everyone, all three of the teams will be disappointed that they haven't been rewarded, better in the draw.
Hull City Blackburn, Newcastle Bournemouth, MK Dons Oxford, Cheltenham Leicester, Cambridge Birmingham, Bristol City Watford, Stoke City versus Coventry City, and a non-league side that has been rewarded, Macclesfield versus Crystal Palace.
Oh, that's a nice one. There, that is a nice one.
Man United Brighton and Sheffield United versus Mansfield.
Man United Brighton.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, he could do without that as well, couldn't he? A few managers like Liverpool, there's a potential banana skin there, especially with them at the moment. I mean, it looks like, and they've not even included Mo Salah, have they, for the
No.
trip to Italy. So it looks like he's going to be on his way out of there. Unless Slot goes, I don't know. It's just as soon as things go wrong in football now, you just see the other side of it that perhaps some people don't see. Like you say, it's all good when it's all rosy in the garden, but when it goes wrong, that's when you want to be united as a club. And unfortunately, it doesn't really go that way. And I'll get it after a certain amount, but not when everything's so tight. It's just a shame, but that's what, that's the nature of the beast.
Well, we've got FA Vars as well, because that was pulled out today. The last 32 as well was pulled out. There might be some teams in here, of course, that you know as well from playing in it last season, etc., etc. But you've got Drolston versus Sherwood Collier, South Liverpool versus Winsford United or Prestwick Hayes, Chaddington versus North Shields. Isn't Chaddington where Clarkson's farm is?
Pass
I'm
on that
sure that's
one.
where it is. I might be wrong. I might be wrong. West Dinsbury and Chorlton versus Nelson. Coventry United versus GNG Oldbury Town. Bilston Town versus Grisley Rovers. Heather St John's versus Gornham Athletic or Grantham Town. Tunbridge Wells or Windsor and Eton versus Fisher. Reading City versus Lynmoor Gardens. Is that a good one then, Tommy?
I think it's a shame that they've been drawn together, Tunbridge Wells v Fisher.
Yeah.
That's a really, Fisher have done brilliant. They were a real handful when we played them last year. And I think everyone knows Tunbridge Wells is a real, their home form, and that pitch does suit them a lot more than what, it's again and not an easy place to go and get a result. But we went there about, I think, three times for one game last year. They had problems with their pitch over there, so hopefully they've got over that, because obviously it hurt them as well, because they had so many games to play for all the games that were called off or abandoned. But again, they're at home, but it's a shame that they've been drawn against each other. That's a really tough tie. Again, another one of them you couldn't call.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to beat Windsor and Eton first, but that's on the cards. But Reading City versus Lynmoor Gardens, Benfleet versus Punjab United, Cock Fosters versus Crawley Down Gatwick, Great Yarmouth Town versus Haywards Heath Town, Harpingdon Town, and their ground's 3G as well, but it's a real sort of like smallish sort of ground as well, because I was there last year myself against the champions, Whinstable Town.
Oh, they're away, yeah.
Hallen or Hamwell Recreation versus Hive and Dibden, Buckley Athletic or Barnstable Town versus AFC Stoneham, and Bobby Tracy or Downton versus Slimbridge or Amesbury Town.
Can't have a Bob. What's that one, Bobby?
Bovey Tracy or
Bobby Tracy.
Downton
Christ, where's that? I've
or
never.
versus Slimbridge or Amesbury Town.
That's the thing with the Vars, the beauty of it. There's some of these teams that you just never, no, not being disrespectful, you never heard of half of them. But they're obviously all the same level. Some might be a little bit lower, but that's not too bad a trip for the Punjab boys. That's a tough one over in it's Essex, isn't it? They're going to go to now, isn't it? Benfleet. And which the ball travel, where they got to go to?
Winsful Harpingdon.
Where's that? Is that Hertfordshire? Again, so yeah. Yeah, so like I said, I'm sure they'd all want the home draws, but it's nice to there's still three Kent teams in there at the moment, with Tunbridge Wells, Whitstable and Punjab. And I'm pleased for the Punjab boys, because we've got a good relationship with them, and I know a lot, obviously I know a lot of the boys anyway from all the teams, but I've got a lot of time for the Punjab lads as well, so it's nice to see them having a good run in the Vars.
Well,
What's that,
Bovey
32? Is that the last 32 that?
last 32,
Punjab.
yeah. Bovey Tracy is in South Devon.
Christ, then I'm fair enough. I'm allowed not to know where that is, isn't
Could you imagine
I?
if they would have pulled out Grantham? That would have been a game, wouldn't
Oh God,
it?
yeah. I'm right in saying it's still a little bit regionalised
I
now,
think
though,
it
isn't
must
it?
be, yeah, it
Yeah,
must
yeah.
be, because North Shields are at the top end of that draw. So yeah, I would have thought so. Must be. But then you sort of talk about those draws and you look at the likes of team that, of course, come on every week, and unfortunately not going to be with us today. Murphy, they were in the FA Cup, I think it was, and they pulled a team out that from Devon, but in there, but they're actually in the Northern Vanarama North, or Enterprise North as it is now, and yet they're playing teams that are down in Cornwall. It's just crazy. We worked it out last week that the team in Cornwall against South Shields, who they played in the league, there's a 9.5 hour travel time between the two areas.
You know what? And again, thankfully, it's on a Saturday. Imagine that on a Tuesday night. You see some of the draws, you know, some of the games that come up midweek, and some of them trips, they are relentless on a Tuesday night.
Well,
You
South
know,
Shields had to get travel to Merthyr on a Tuesday night.
oh, that's who was the gent that was on last time I come on last season, and he was down at their I think their every away game is was miles away.
Oh, that was Mousel. Yeah, down in Cornwall.
Really nice bloke, come on every week. Every
Nearly
away game
almost,
for them.
almost 9,000 miles league travel this year. 9,000 miles just for league games. That's without FA Trophy and FA Cup and all the rest of it. 9,000 miles.
It's mad, and this is where the boys do struggle, you know, with their work, and they do lose money, obviously, with, you know, half a day or whatever they're going to do. And if they're employed, they've got to try and get that off. They're self-employed, it's a little bit easier, but yeah, that's when this time of year, with the rain and the postponements, this is when you just have your fingers crossed that the games are on, because it can change from one week to the next if someone can't get any time off. And as we were saying before we come on, the beauty of our situation is that we know that every home game's going to, well, 99.9% of the time, I think it's only snow that can affect our game sort of not going ahead. Apart from that, if it's rain or whatever, as horrible as it is, we went down three bridges the other week and it absolutely pelted down all through the game, all through it, never eased off. And obviously last year, I think that wouldn't have finished.
We had the same situation when I was down at Waltham Abbey. It was absolutely, and there's his grass, but it was hammering down on the top of the stand, like, as I say, from at least 75 minutes to the 90 minutes. It was just hammering down. But you'd expect the ball, you know, years ago down at Waltham Abbey's pitching, you know, it wouldn't have stood a chance. It would have been abandoned at some point, if not played at all. And then, but every time the ball bounced on their pitch, there wasn't even a splash of water at all. No sign
Crazy, isn't
of
it?
water. Their drainage over there, what their guy's done over there for that football club, you know, pitch wise, is incredible. Do you know what I mean? And I mean, the pitch now is like, looks like 3G if you're actually looking at it from a distance. Do you know what I mean? And there's literally there was no water, no surface water on the pitch at all. It was just crazy, crazy,
Yeah,
crazy.
it doesn't, you know, it's not getting it. It's not going to let it cut up as well. Is the massive plus, because that's when it becomes obviously dangerous, when it all cuts up and you know you get a that's when you get your boots obviously caught in it and whatever. But yeah, we've not we didn't. The good thing is for Crowborough, fair play. The other thing that used to drive me mad was that teams were having a pitch inspection at 11 o'clock, and you'd be like, you know, everyone's obviously on their way by then, or you know whatever. So I don't know why they just can't. Pitch inspections are at 9 o'clock. To be fair to Crowborough, I think I got the 10 o'clock. But I know Sean and obviously Emery played for me at two clubs, and I was in touch with him quite a bit, and they let us know straight away. So no stupid games of making people travel and then calling it off en route. So yeah, we had a free Saturday.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at your fixtures, Tommy. I mean, what is it about November this year? Do you like the number four? Because you've gone down 4-1 to Eastbourne, 4-1 to Deal, then beat Sevenoaks 4-0, Three Bridges 4-2, and VCD 4-2.
I know. To be fair, all of the games, you know, one thing with our teams, we do create a lot of chances. So every game should be around that mark if we take our chances. But we started it, obviously, I think that we had someone was saying we were like 30 game unbeaten run or something. And that come to an end. With the first 4-1. And again, it was a game where I thought we should have been in front at half time, as mad as it sounds, but fair play to them. They dug in, and obviously we went to Deal on a Tuesday night, which isn't the nicest place to go. No disrespect to Deal, but it was again a gale force wind down the pitch, and we've come unstuck. We've I think two of the goals were in like 92nd, 94th minute. We were down at 10 men. We didn't deserve nothing out of the game. They were miles better than us on the night. But obviously, it was a test for us because we've lost two games. And what I was saying to you earlier about football now, It's important not to have that overreaction to it. You've just got to be honest with yourself with the two performances and address it. And then we finished December really well with three wins and 12 goals. So, we finished it strongly, which was important. And the most important thing is to be in and around, the top of the table where thankfully we are at the moment.
I mean, looking at some of the other scores, the other one that sort of stands out of the page, of course, is back on the 30th of September in the Velocity Cup, 5-all.
Oh, don't. Yeah, that was the Asher one. I think the goalie got sent off as well, bang on for the penalties for us that night. To be honest, no disrespect to the Velocity Cup and whatever. I think it was, Lloyd was, he's got to look after his situation. But for us, we literally played everyone that wasn't getting any minutes. We had a fresh goalie that hadn't played for a while. So that was the only plus for us. It was a competition that we entered, and I know you got options to pull out of it this year if you didn't want to go in it. But we said we'd take it because, like any competition, once you get to them later stages, it becomes everyone wants a little cup final at the end of it. But we were fortunate enough to get home draws with it because sometimes you could pull out a real pig and have a Tuesday night travelling down to, I don't know, I forget that team that we used to play in the Ryman North, because there's some over there that are right down by Mark, Caister and Yarmouth and all down there, isn't
Yeah,
there? There's
like
some teams down there.
Rockserman and those, yeah, Rocksum,
That's
Deerham.
it. That's it. That's the kiddies. Yeah, imagine getting them on a Tuesday night, and it can disrupt your season, especially if you're having a good run in other cups. So, that 5-all was an entertaining game, and they even saw 10 penalties. So,
Who won the penalties?
they did.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, they did. I think they're still in it. I know they got a home draw, I think the next one. But yeah, it was. I think it's one of them exercises for everyone that, the team you put out is still good enough to go and make a fist of it, because they're part of the squad. And our squad at the moment, we've just got another player back from a long-term injury. Our squad's really, really competitive now, all around the pitch for places. So, I've got lads that would normally play and start for me that are having to be patient because the boys that have gone in have done really well. And obviously for me, it's pretty simple. You keep your shirt. If you take someone out of the side that's playing really well and performing, I don't get the logic behind it. And I know this tiredness thing kicks in and whatever, but we're talking about now playing Saturday, 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 Saturday. And even if it was a Saturday, Tuesday for a little while, whether I'm right or wrong, but I'm one of them managers. I'm not into all this tiredness stuff. I think that's a state of mind. I think if you're winning, nobody's tired. If you're drawing or losing, obviously, he looks a bit. It's another thing to throw in the equation now.
Well, it's funny you said about Wroxham because how far away that was. I always remember when I was doing the stuff for Harlow and we were in the East Midlands North, and for two or three seasons in a row, their first away game of the season on a Tuesday night was Wroxham. Down to the fact that what it was that Wroxham's nearest opponents were like Norwich United. And the likes of Deerham, these type of people, Mildenhall, when they were there. But after that, their next nearest opponent was Harlow. So,
Jesus.
because the other games had to be played, like New Year's Day, Boxing Day, and bank holidays, the first game of the season was like your local playing against your local team. But because of how far they were, you're traveling up there. And I did, when I was match day secretary, I did a couple of journeys up there on a Tuesday night. Do you know what I mean? And getting back at, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that, in the morning. It was just crazy, absolutely crazy.
And that, obviously you're in rush hour traffic as well, weren't you? So it's, you know, it is, there's a, you can see why obviously divisions are regionalised, but you always get that odd curve, that one curveball in there. I mean, like we play Deal and it takes us, Deal's in Kent, where, I live in Kent, but it takes me longer to get to Deal than it does to get to Three Bridges down by Gatwick Airport. And that's in Sussex, so it don't necessarily, Kent's a big county. We've got to go to Hassocks. That's just as far as probably what Deal is. We've been to Margate away, thankfully. But yeah, it's just this time of year now. You just want, I don't mind the cold and whatever, but when it starts raining, then you get, excuse me, you get the torrential rain that we've been getting. I just hate that. Thursday night training, do you reckon the game will be on? Because it was raining Thursday night, and I said, of course it will. Just get our mindset right. Just make sure you got your right footwear because it's going to be boggy and whatever. But then Friday night, I heard it thundering against me, patio doors and whatever, and I'm like, oh Jesus, here we go. So I text my secretary to say, look, if it is called off, can we just like have a look at some dates to get the game in and talk to them about it. And then yeah, lucky enough, I got a message at 9 o'clock saying there's a pitch inspection at 10. And I didn't pass it on, but now social media, it comes up, pitch inspection. But I don't like that because of the, like I said, it's not hard to prepare, but you're just waiting. But thankfully, at least we didn't get the stupid 11 o'clock pitch inspection where everyone's already set off and having to turn around. Obviously, looking at the forecast for the whole day as well. If it's not good at 9, it ain't going to be good at 3 when it starts raining again. But
So
yeah, fair play to.
what's your furthest journey away there? What takes
Jersey,
the longest?
Jersey, Jersey.
Oh, we got Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, Jersey Bulls. But saying that, it's actually like we were talking to the lads there after the game, having a beer with their management. They said it's 40 minutes. The flight's 40 minutes. It takes us an hour, 1 hour and 20 minutes to get a deal.
Wow.
But obviously, with them, it's getting there before the flight.
Yeah.
It's all the time leading up for it. But it's when you actually think about it, we go to the airport, we're 40 minutes over the thing, and then, some of the like last weekend they was in, where were they last? But they was in Sussex, I think. So yeah, was it Hastings last week they played? Can't think where they played, but they had a game in. So obviously Gatwick's in Sussex, and they were like 20 minutes, half hour to get to the game, and then back on. It's just the like anything with the airports, it's just getting there the 2 hours before. But yeah, Jersey Bulls, we've got them in February, so
Yeah,
hopefully.
21st, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully that's all hunky dory because again it's just the weather, isn't it, for the flights, not so much because we were talking before. I'm not sure if they're 3G. Someone said they were,
I'll have a
but
look
I'm
at
not.
that.
Yeah, I'm not 100%.
Well,
So it's
4 o'clock kickoff as well.
yeah, I don't get that one. I would have got it earlier. There must be some reason behind that. I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're staying down there. I'm pretty sure. I'm not. Listen, I don't know, but yeah, I saw that and wondered what that was about. There, whether there's something going on that day in Jersey, or it doesn't ring any bells for me. But yeah, I saw the 4 o'clocker, so that'd be a real tough one as well, because obviously they're going to be really strong at home.
Yeah.
They were really good at our place, to be fair. But some weekends they again struggle getting some of the lads away, especially midweek games. We've played them at home, and we've got to go there, like I said, in February, which there should be like full strength.
And it is 3G.
There you go. Yeah, there's another one then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So rain or whatever is not a problem. It's just the flights.
You've been there before?
No, Guernsey, done the Guernsey one, not Jersey.
You want to invite Keith to come with you? He enjoys those trips.
Yeah, well, to be fair, there, if you've got them on a Saturday or whatever, it's I'm not sure if you want to make a weekend of it or whatever. I mean, we were talking about going perhaps earlier and making a long weekend of it or something like that. I don't know, but we've got a lot of games to play in between now and then, so the most important thing is to be up and around it and go in there in them circumstances.
So talk to us a little bit about the ending of last season, of course, finally managing to get Faversham back up to step four. I mean, talk us through the last few weeks of that. Was it straight up? Was it playoffs? I mean, how did Faversham get up back up?
No, we won the league, so we went up as champions, thankfully, because the year before we just fell short in the playoffs. We come in at January time, and again we went into the playoffs, 14 game unbeaten run, and unfortunately, playoff night. To be fair, we just had one of them games which happens in the season. We just didn't really turn up for some reason, and no one see it coming. especially with the form we was in, and we lost to Corinthians, who deserved it really on the night. And that's horrible because I've had a midweek playoff losses, and it's the worst thing in the world. Your season finishes on a Tuesday night, and then it sits in as a whole season's worth of work, or in our case, sort of 5 months worth of work. Sort of, you've got to go through that again all next year. Fair play to the lads, because I said to them afterwards, I congratulate it every single one, just because to be champions and go up as champions in any league is a, is a tough thing. I said, but you won't get any recognition for it, because everyone will go, well, Faversham should have won it, and it wasn't like that. So fair play to them. And then this year, we've sort of blended in a little bit more, and there's not so much of that sort of attitude or towards us regarding if we won, you're supposed to win. If you lose, it was like last season, it was like the biggest shock in the world. Thankfully, we didn't lose a lot of games last year, but even the draws become a an issue, because we were drawing and not winning. But the one thing I kept saying was, all these points will make a difference, and you're taking 2 points off of the opposition as well, no matter who they are. So, but to do it as champions, and then to just pick up this year and start how we have started again. People will talk about, oh, when we lost to these, and when we had our losses, and I'm like, we've had an unbelievable start. We had a really good FA Cup run. Disappointed to go out the trophy early, but we had a fantastic FA Cup run where we ended up going out to Ebbsfleet, and we give them a good game, especially in the second half. And we're sitting 3 points. Well, not now so much. We didn't play Saturday, but we're up there. So it's a great start. And it's something that I definitely don't take for granted, because there's going to be some real tough games ahead. And the first we're coming up to sort of roughly the first half of the season, and there's been no shoo-ins or no givens or no, that was an easy game or whatever. Even when you're, some of the results might think, oh, that was a, it looks like there was a like a an easy game, but it wasn't. They've been real tough games this year. Teams are a lot more organised, got a lot more structure. Last year was more was a lot more, I would say, work ethic. And just rawness. Last year, there was, again, football has it has moved on, and there's some really good football being played. But the work rate for some of them boys last year, that we were playing against, was unbelievable. So we've just tried to sustain what we do, and so far it's, we're doing okay.
What was the game that got you promoted last week?
Tunbridge Wells away.
So what was the build-up like going into that game?
Do you know what? Do you know what, Dave? I said to the lads, because the pitch was horrendous. It was horrendous. So we just needed a point, I think it was, to go up. But I just said, right, if we get a free kick, everyone go up. If you can reach the box, everyone go up. You could not play football on that football pitch. If we get a throw in, and we can get everyone go up, and we ended up scoring from a set piece, 1-0. That was it. But the pitch was cut up. It was really boggy. It was a windy night. It would have been lovely to have done it at home, on a Saturday, but it wasn't. It was Tuesday night away at Tunbridge Wells, and then we had Lordswood at home on the last game of the season, where we got the trophy and everything given to us. But yeah, it was really pleasing, and I'm really pleased for everyone down there, because they have had a tough time of it, over the last few years, and to get relegated with the players they had down there as well was a shock. But I think introducing the 3G pitch, because again, no disrespect to the club, it was always known as it wasn't the best place in the world to go, and now when you go there, it's just a different animal. Everything, the bar's been done, the bars are done up, the pitch is now, beautiful. It just makes it look a lot tidier. Gates are going up, and like I said, at the moment, we've started the season really well. But the expectation levels are still there, and I get that. But we put that on ourselves anyway. But it's just that important part of not to overreact when the things don't go right, because you are going to get games like that throughout a season. So, to sort of coming up to halfway through the season and be where we are, we should be more than happy with that.
So how many did you get a lot come did you get a lot go down to Tunbridge Wells on that night?
To be fair, yeah, there was, to be fair, because again, it was a real horrible night. But I think we would have took 100 and something. Our away support's really good. You know, it is really good. And the one thing they do is they go there and they do enjoy themselves. And we've been fortunate enough to do all right away from home as well as at home. Obviously, at home there's a little bit more intensity, a little bit more pressure on you. But you know, we've, like I said, the start we've had and the start since we've been in there, I'd like to think that, you know, we're going in the right direction.
So, I mean, this year, though, going into, I mean, how many of the team from your championship winning team last year stay with you? Did you keep more, or did you have you brought in sort of players that are more used to playing at step four, or a few of them?
Yeah, no, I brought in Big Enny from Dover, big centre forward who was sub for a lot of the games last year for Dover and got a game every now and then. And just said to him that, you know, just play regular, just, you know, you'll get regular football. I said, unless obviously you're having one. I said, but, you know, it's your chance to come in and get a regular shirt. And he's been a revelation for us. I mean, he started off at Fisher. So straight away, I love that as well because the, you know, Fisher are a really well drilled, really very good side. And we knew he'd have the right attitude. So we brought Enny in. As the season's gone on, we brought Ethan Smith in and Frankie Smith from Herne Bay. But we kept the majority of last season. We kept the majority of the team in because they've played at this level. So it's not like we're you know, we've not come in and hid behind the fact that we've just gone up. You know, I've gone in there and just said to the boys, sort of, you know, why not? Let's see if we can get in there and make a fist of it. We're not asking you to play out of a comfort zone. You've all played at this level. We just get on with it. You know, we don't want to hide behind, oh, we've come up from a league. That's what I'm saying about the expectations and whatever. We do that ourselves, but the majority of these boys have played at this level anyway. So, but we've never been one of them managements that aim everyone out and bring another lot in, because I think, you know, that's not really, unless you jump up levels and then you've got to adjust to it, because you know, the level above is obviously a different animal, and you know, so is the one above that. We found that out in the Conference South with our days at Tunbridge. You know, when you're losing all your better players to the Maidstone, on the rise then, you know, with a good crowd and obviously you know, well funded. So we were losing a lot of players to them, and we were trying to bring players in. It just, you know, it's just them fine margins. But as much as they give everything they could, we just, you know, you just lose that little bit of quality. So you know, the league we're in at the moment's a tough league, but it's a league that, you know, we've not gone in of all, you know, with all fear, or we've just gone in to sort of play our way, believe in what we do, and see where it takes us. And like I said earlier, thankfully at the moment, you know, we cannot be too unhappy as a football club to see where we are.
I mean, yeah, sitting fourth. I mean, what, 6 points behind, but a game in hand on Three Bridges. I mean, who when you went in there, who was the sides that you thought were the ones that were going to be pushing for the title along with yourself? I mean, was it the likes of Sittingbourne and Margate and Mersham, these type of
Yeah,
clubs?
the boys that were in and around the playoffs last year. I thought Ashford would be, and I still think Ashford will come good and come up the table. But obviously, we didn't know a lot about Jersey Bulls, but they're another tough side. But yeah, the ones you've really mentioned, you know, Three Bridges were always up there last year. And you've got the likes of Merstham, who are, you know, a very good side. Sittingbourne's always a tough place. But yeah, you just don't know. There's always a late runner, and right, you know, at the end of it, you always get a late runner. So you've only got to have a good sort of February and March, and you can be, you know, we were talking about Aston Villa earlier. Look, they were right down the bottom 5 games ago. 6 games ago, and they've gone on that run and now they're 3 points off the top. So that's the most important thing. It's not so much to look at where you're in the league. I mean, before Saturday, we were sitting second, 3 points off of it. Now we're 6 points off of it, and it looks like a bigger, but we didn't
Big
play
time.
Saturday. You can't do nothing about it. You've got to have that realism. All it has done, obviously, is put a little bit more emphasis on winning that game in hand. Said, but you can't do nothing about that. But the most important, you can be third from bottom. If we were fourth from bottom or third from bottom and we were sort of 9 points off of a playoff spot, I wouldn't be panicking because it's just that little run. And the playoffs have, the one thing about the playoffs, they have stopped the stigma of most of the clubs seeing where you are in the new year. And if you're nowhere near it, they normally draw the money. And then, concentrate for next season. Oh, we're safe. We're not going to go down. But now you've got that little incentive of the playoffs. It keeps the season alive a lot more.
I mean, you've got Wasm this weekend because Team Net's now above you in Croydon. I mean, difficult game.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, again, on paper, it's a really difficult game. But like I said to you earlier, mate, we played Beckenham and East Grinstead at home and second from bottom and bottom. And to be fair, especially Beckenham game, we were lucky to come away. We won it, but we really that they should have beaten us, really. They were really good on the day. And East Grinstead, 2-1, it's not like the tonking that everyone thinks that you'd give them. Bear in mind, I think they lost the week before Everleigh. You just don't know. You've just got to just concentrate on yourself and not look at the league positions because, yeah, on paper, of course, it's a tough game because they're up there with us. Like, after that, I think it's we've got a tough one with Broadbridge Heath, who were a very, very good side. I really rated them down at their place, and we got a really good 3-1 down there on a Tuesday night. And then coming into the new year, obviously, again, another good side, a really good side in Whyteleafe. And we went down their place and won 3-0. But obviously, since then, they've got themselves together and pulled off some really great results. I think, well, I don't think him and he got manager of the month last month, so they've had a really good November. And they've shot straight back up. So, yeah, it's a tough. I mean, we've got in between that, you've got Sheppey on, it's not the Boxing Day, but, the day after. And again, Sheppey are on a run at the moment. So, and that's away. So, again, a real tough December, but. I wouldn't, if we're playing a team at the bottom, I still would never take anything for granted.
Is that disappointing, though, not to be playing Boxing Day?
Oh, do you know what?
Traditional day.
Last year, because I went in January the year before, but last year we never had it. And then this year, I was surprised because I thought the Ryman would be New Year's Day, Boxing Day. But obviously, because of it falling on the Saturday, I mean, it's just I mean, Christmas is everyone's time to go and have a drink and enjoy himself. And if you're in football and you're doing it properly, it's always been your time. New Year's Eve was never about having a drink and seeing a new year in. And Christmas Day was never about overindulging and because of the next day. And then after, my Boxing Day was my Christmas Day. And vice versa, but this year, yeah, we go the 3rd of Jan and the 27th of December. So the only nice thing is it keeps you in your routine of being a Saturday, because sometimes you get thrown out a little bit. But now we're playing both games on a Saturday, so that's the only thing that can you can take something out of. But also, Christmas Day is Thursday, so you're not gonna definitely ain't gonna be training Thursday.
Why not?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, yeah, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? To be fair.
How many clubs do you think in a game previous to that get a good hide in? That game well, get a good hide in, and the manager turns around and says, "Well, training's Thursday night."
Yeah, do you know what? That's what you call management, because if you do that, that ain't right. That's not the way to if you do that, then fair play to you, but that's not the way to get a reaction from your lads, because you are, like I keep telling everyone, I have to say a lot now, as a team, you are going to be rubbish 3 times a year or 4 times a year. It's going to happen. You're going to have a bad performance. And it might be that Saturday before Christmas. It might be, it could be any day. But what I don't like is everyone says, oh, that's because you didn't train, or that's because you. It's got nothing to do with that. If we go Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, all the way up until Christmas, it's nothing to do with not training. Or sometimes it's good to give them the night off and just say, especially from our point of view at the moment, if we stay where we are, we've had a fantastic first half of the season. So, yeah, I'm trusting you. Have a night off and we'll see you, well, not Boxing Day, on the 27th. They're not going to be in. On the obviously Christmas Day, but whether we pull him in on that Tuesday, because again, you have all the things like the work dues and the I don't know what happens with them. You've just got to monitor it, and then for me, just use a bit of common sense. I'm not dragging people all the way down there just to tick a box. It's called trusting your players and what I would call good bit of man management.
Well, Burton have just taken the lead against Buxton. I think you can probably see it as well as I can.
Yeah.
Pete, we're at fault. Or do you can you see it?
He's come at him. I mean, I think it's one of them looking at that. He should have just saved it with his feet. I don't think he can get down and parry that. I'll be looking at him. He's a way out. But I'd have thought, yeah, looking at that, he could have. There's no way he's going to get down on top of that because it was quite close to his body. So, but yes, yeah, he's got to be unhappy with that. But they're well funded though, aren't they, Brackley? So they've got a really good setup there. Is that, I don't even know who their manager is, because I know that young lad went in and lasted a week, but I don't know who followed him.
I recognize the face, but I can't tell you it is off the top of my head. But something I
Yeah.
know it is, yeah.
Yeah, I turn it down when he come on, but I see him and I'm like, he looked a bit like Kevin Davis a little bit, but I don't know. There's got to be a connection there with Brackley, I'd have thought, but yeah,
So
so it.
I mean, not in your league though. On that sort of, we're calling them the Boxing Day games, but the Christmas games. I mean, if you wasn't managing, which one would you go and see? I mean, you've got AFC Whiteley versus AFC Croydon, Ashford v Hastings, Broadbridge versus Sevenoaks, Crowborough versus Eastbourne, East Grinstead Town versus Jersey, Hassocks versus Three Bridges, Herne Bay against Margate, Mersham against Sittingbourne, and then VCD against Deal.
I think if you live around here, I mean, Herne Bay Margate from a Kentish point of view sticks out like a really good, a good game to go and see. I might be a bit unjust on that goalie seeing that again, to be honest. But yeah, it would probably be that if I was to go and see it. I mean, last year I went over to Hornchurch on New Year's Day. We didn't have a game, and they playing ironically enough, they were playing Tunbridge. So I thought, well, that'd be nice. So went over there to see a few old faces, and obviously I know Macca and Gritty and Juppy and all the lads there, and Colin McBride at Hornchurch with Jimmy Mack. But it absolutely hammered down, and it got abandoned at half time. So it was one of them where it was that wet and cold. I'm gassed. I couldn't even stay. I went, I've got to get home. It was honestly, it was a really, real horrible day. But yeah, sometimes you pick a game out that's not even in your league. If it's on that day. But yeah, looking at them, the one that sticks out to me, I mean, how we've got Whiteleaf on there, how they've worked that out, because it's supposed to be sort of like a local derby sort of thing, isn't it? Herne Bay Margate, you're going, yeah. We're a deal. Are they on there? I didn't
Deal
hear them.
are, and by the way, the manager is Gavin Curran.
I don't know him, yeah.
Deal are going to VCD.
See, even that, deals, up there, I mean, us on Whiteleaf is nowhere. I used to get this at Ashford. We used to go to, I think it was East Grinstead, and I'm like, well, you've got all these teams. Like, we could have Sittingbourne, we could have just done belt and braces with Sheppey Boxing Day at theirs, New Year's Day at ours. Two Kent teams, but we've got a real toughie. We've got obviously Whiteleaf, but it just doesn't make sense regarding what the occasion's supposed to be. I mean, Boxing Day at Sheppey will be that should be a nice crowd, because they're well supported as well. It's not too, that is literally not too far at all from us. It's local, and yeah, you get that. But I don't understand the Whiteleaf one, because the rest of them, when you reel them off, they do all sound like, obviously apart from Jersey Bulls, they all do sound like localish games.
I mean, I'm just curious, just while we're on the Boxing Day games and as such games, let's have a quick shift here. I'm interested because of course I go down to Waltham Abbey all the time. So let's just have a quick look and see Eastmere and North, just see how close some of those are. Where are we? There we go. So it's Bowers and Pitsea versus Concord.
That's brilliant, yeah.
Brampton Athletic versus Brighton, Lindsay.
That's the team I was thinking of, Brighton, because the Regent, that was a slap. You could draw them in that Velocity Cup away. That's another one. Is that local to each other then too?
I'm not sure. One's just outside the Clacton area, isn't it? Brighton too. I'm not too sure where Brampton is. Cambridge City versus Takeley. Downham Town versus Mildenhall Town. Goulston Wroxham, that's really close. Grays against Tilbury. Well, they're both at the same ground, so that's very close.
Oh, blimey, yeah.
Lowestoft Town versus Felixstowe and Morton. Maldon and Tiptree against Heybridge.
That'd be a good, well, be a good, should be a good game, but I think they're
Yeah,
struggling
probably.
a little
I
bit,
was going
Avery.
to say the way that things are going at the minute, it could be about 10-0.
Yeah.
Newmarket Town versus Redbridge. That's a bit of a trek as well, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Newmarket,
Yeah.
Redbridge. Stanway Rovers versus Witham. And then the one that I'll be at, Waltham Abbey against Walthamstow, which is not too far at all, just up the road.
No. It's some yeah, with what's going on at Maldon and Tiptree at the moment.
What's your thoughts on that, Tommy?
I think it's brilliant. Listen, I'm all for it. It's just a lot of people will have a green-eyed monster about it all. You've got two gents that have gone in there and absolutely invested heavily into it. They live in the area, you know, they live around that area.
He lives in the town, yeah.
Yeah, they're back in the club, and I think it's fantastic and fair play to them. It's to be honest, they'd be obviously the team to beat, looking at all the players they've brought in from Dagenham and Redbridge and Chatham. They're obviously, can pick and choose whatever they want, and I'm like, good luck to you. Why not? And I think it's great, and hopefully, you got two lads there that are invested into the club fully, and not ones that are just going to disappear.
He's a nice bloke as well, and when we had him on the show just last year, actually, just a few months after, about a month or so after he'd actually taken charge. And you know when you speak to people and you speak to them and you think, yeah, he's talking out the back of his backside, you know, like there's no, you know, there's no interest. He's just getting me just a plaything, and they'll do this and they'll do that. And I said to people, I said, I interviewed him, and I was convinced that he's true to his word, 100% true to his word. When you actually listen to what he was saying and the passion. And he said to me, he said it wasn't him, it was his partner that was passionate about football. He's just come along for the ride type thing. But if you listen to the passion that he had for that club in that interview alongside Gavin, it was just amazing. You think yourself, Struff. Do you know what I mean? It was, you know.
Think, to put your money into any football club, we've got it with our chairman, with Gary, but getting the 3G done and everything like that, the idea is, and I think we're not a million miles away, is the club self-sufficient, because the pitches do make a massive difference regarding the revenue. And you've got these two gents at Maldon and Tiptree that have, like I said, no one would want to go and play at Maldon and Tiptree last year, but now, because obviously what's going on over there, as a player, you hope your phone will go to
Well,
go and
you're
play
looking,
for
I mean,
him.
you're looking, isn't it? Freddie Sears used to be at West Ham. He's playing for him. And then Michaeli Bonn, who was at Leyton Orient, smashing goals in for fun at Leyton Orient. Do you know what I mean? And he's there now as well.
Yeah, there's and also the Dagenham and Redbridge boys that have gone in. They took the best players from Dagenham and Redbridge. So, nah, listen, I'm like I said, a lot of it will be again, probably that stigma of like I was saying earlier, when they win, well, you're supposed to win, and when they lose, it's a massive. They just get on. I mean, I'm sure they're big enough and ugly enough as footballers and a management team just to get on with it. Because deep down, like I say to my boys, everyone in that other changing room would love to be sitting down in here with you.
Well, the funny thing is, I think the last game they lost was that nice trek that you was talking about, the Brighton Sea.
I was here.
Yeah, lost 3-2. But here's the game's Premier Division. Again, you'll know some of these teams and how far away they are from each other. Burgess Hill Town versus Chichester City. Canvey Island versus Billericay. Carshalton versus Dulwich. Chatham v Dartford.
Brilliant.
Cray Wanderers versus Cray Valley.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag against Averley.
Yeah.
Potters Bar versus Chesson, which I know is literally two clubs quite close to me, so just around the corner. Ramsgate against Folkestone and Invicta. St Albans versus Wingate and Finchley. Welling United versus Brentwood Town. And Whitehawk versus Lewis.
Well, that's a proper Sussex derby, that one. Whitehawk and Lewis. Yeah, there's some good games in there. Obviously, the Chatham one looks good. That could be a 2,500, 3,000 up there, I reckon, for that one. There's some obviously Folkestone have got a little, a nice little coastal trip down to Ramsgate. There's some, yeah, there's some good ones in there. They sit and they all seem half sensible. They all seem, yeah, I get that, I get that, I get that. You know, and that's all you want to do when you look at them fixtures. So that does seem like a real and like I said, I don't know why, just to simplify things, that they just don't spin them around for New Year's Day. Just do this. I know it's twice in 5 days, but I'm sure if it's like it was there and you get gates, both teams would welcome that because they'd be really well supported.
And Folkestone flying at the minute.
Oh, it's unbelievable, Joe. Yeah, he's done really well. They've invested. He's got another centre half in on loan, Sam German. We had him on loan at Ashford. Very, very good player. Got a good future ahead of him. And obviously Bromley are on the ascendancy. So he's going to find it tough to break into the first team. But all he can do is do what he's doing. And he's playing for the, he's getting loaned out to the better teams in the divisions that they're going to.
So I mean, with Faversham itself, I mean, is the actual sort of like goal when you first, when you started the season this year, and it's a weird thing to say for such a big club like Faversham, but did you look at it? Did the chairman say, look, we're looking at playoffs this year, or just the stability, or was it straight away? Look, while we're on a good run, while we've got a good feeling inside the club, let's look and see if we can get to step three, and Bratcliffe just equalised as well.
Oh, you're in front of me then. What, from the corner? Yeah, you're in front of me then. Yeah, it is. I think we do it ourselves. Wherever we go, we're going to win every game. I know it's an old saying and whatever, but I've never really had an inferiority complex in football because if you do that, you're going to come unstuck. As long as you just give everything. I think what the club are wary of is not to take anything for granted because, like I said, on paper, the side they had that got relegated was a really good side, full of experience, and they got relegated. And the hardest thing is to get out. I mean, that league is just an unforgiving league. So they had 2 seasons in there. Like I said, the first year we just felt short, and it's easier said than done. But to go back the following year and actually win it is nothing to be sniffed at. But going into this, the most important thing is not to throw all that hard work away. We, quietly knew we had players that have played at this level, so there's no reason, that or why not, there's no reason, but there's loads of hard work ahead of us. But we've had a really, really good start, and like I said, I'm more than happy with our league position. Irrelevant, obviously, now we're 6 points off. But that's what can happen. But like I said, that's through no fault of our own. And all we've got to do is make sure we win that game in hand and just try and keep that close gap. And I always say to the boys, never ever look behind, no matter what you do, just look in front. If you start looking behind and looking at all the permutations, you're gonna come unstuck because we started November, loss, loss. I'm like, oh, that's how quick football can change. But that was in, going from, like I said, I think it was 30 games unbeaten. And then you lose two in 5 days. And then you think, oh God, but it didn't, again, results must have been thrown up elsewhere as well because I was expecting to see a big gap appearing and whatever, but there wasn't. And then we've managed to win the last three and it's kept us in contention. So, the expectations to go out is to go out and win every single game, but the reality of it all is another thing. But there's no, we want to do this and go up in here or playoffs or whatever. It was just, I think that should be every club's target. We just get on with it and, you're in control of your own destiny. And if it's not good enough, you've got to change it. But thankfully, we haven't, from our point of view, we'll always strengthen if there's something that's going to make us stronger, but not on the knee bolt reaction of a couple of losses.
How difficult though is that as being a manager? If you get onto that sort of like you said like the year the club actually went down. I know you wasn't part of it, but when you get to that sort of situation where you get onto a bad run and then listen, you lose another one and then you lose another one. How difficult is that to then turn that around and how is it? What's the diff? Well, I know the difference is you're losing and the other side you're winning, but. You've got that same scenario when you keep winning every week as well. What makes you being able to get the team to keep winning every week, and how do you sort of turn it around if you do go on a big losing streak? Because
You just got
slot needs to know, yeah.
it's just we're telling him what to do, and I blame he's I feel for him at the moment, to be fair, because like I said, it's all very good when it's going well, but when it don't go well, you do see different sides to people, and clubs as well, as a team, as fans. And fans were asking for his head after, I think, two losses or something, three losses, I mean, for me, it's just what you see, it's how you lose the game. If you keep letting him pour goals, obviously you've got to look to change it, but you just don't change it for the sake of it. You've got to change it for the better, and it has got to strengthen the side. But the other thing is to believe, why these players, they're not going to become bad players overnight. But it just depends on what you call a catastrophe. I mean, to lose two on the spin, obviously wasn't nice, but if you lost on the Saturday, you put it down to, for me, it'll be like a really poor week, but it's three losses and you just get on with it. The deal, I don't think we deserved anything at the deal, if you want the truth. The other one, I thought we could have got something out of it, and that sounds mad at 4-1. But it's just how you lose. I think that's the expression. It's not, and also how you win. You can play really badly. Like I said, the Beckenham game, fair play to them. And we beat them, but if we play like that week in, week out, we're gonna lose more games than we win. So it's not, it's just, I just think it's about not kidding yourself. And what you said earlier, if we all do these interviews after the game now. I'd like to think what I say on there is pretty honest, whether it's good or not. I'm not one of them that are gonna hide behind a result. And like, again, I've used that Beckenham game, so I went on there straight away and went, I'd be gutted if I was them. They should have come away with a point, let alone I thought they should have won it. So I just think it's important to, if you want to sort of keep any integrity in football, not so much the word respect or whatever, because I just think that's, you should respect everyone that you play against, and because it's fair play to you for having, for actually doing it. But if you start rambling and making things up, and people are at the game and they're like, you're at the same game as me. It's always, every goal you let in is always going to be something you're not happy with because you've let a goal in. It'll always start from something. So that's the obvious. But if you deserve something out of the game, then it's worth mentioning. But if you don't, there's no point trying to sugarcoat it. It's just sad as it is. But the one thing I've never ever done is one panic, because if you do that, then obviously that sets the tone of the room. Is install that belief back in them. But if it doesn't work, then obviously you've got to change it. That's football. Otherwise, you get changed.
We'll just add, just to finish with, or close to finishing here, we've just had a message come in from a certain Mr. Sam Wright saying Tommy's definitely one of the good guys of non-league football.
Is that Sam Wright?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's over at SC Dons now, I think. I think, right, he's helping them out. Yeah, good. He's a good bloke. I know him from Macrae Wanderers
Yeah.
day. Listen, mate, I am what I am. I'm obviously one of the older managers now, unfortunately. But I'd just like to think that I try and keep things simple, because I think football is a simple game that's got massively overcomplicated. I think it's improved, which it should do technically, yet. The physicality side of it, the fitness of it, the organisation of it. Yeah, brilliant. Love it all. Systems, what's the right one? What's the wrong one? What's the right ball? What's the wrong ball? It's just about opinions. There's no right or wrong. The most important thing is to win, and enjoy it. But all the stuff that's going into it now, some of it I think is too much.
Again, we bring up that VAR. I'm all for having a mistake. The linesman didn't get it right, the ref didn't get it right. But I'm also one of them that would like to be able to have a, I think the wording is, debate with a ref and the linesman about them coming over, throwing cards at you. Just saying, look, that ain't offside what you're doing. And again, the ref's giving it back as well. It's just, I do think that side of the game's changed a hell of a lot without going overboard on it. But I would definitely scrap the VAR thing. I mean, was it 5 minutes the other day to get a goal on the, and that's at the highest level. It's just ridiculous. And this is where you see all the muscles getting pulled now, and because they're all standing around waiting for the VAR. Obviously, injuries are going to happen, but the most important thing, mate, is to, I love football. I still love it. I'm still passionate about it. And all the time I feel that, I'll keep doing it. And at the moment, it's going well for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Tommy, thanks for joining us. We do wish you and Fabian all the very, very best for the rest of the season, and hope everybody there has a fantastic Christmas as well. Also, as well, of course, next week we'll be back next week, and of course, then on the 22nd we'll have our Christmas special, and it's a fantastic interview that I've spoken about quite a few times. We have a gentleman called Chris Watney, of course, down at Corinthian Casuals, and he takes us behind the scenes, of course, of the BT Sport documentary, Brothers in Football. And he's an absolutely fascinating chat, and he talks to us about what happened when they went to Corinthians in Brazil, and so forth, and how they managed to get there in the first place, and the story behind the whole show. It's a great chat, so please join us for that. That's the 22nd. And that'll be live only on YouTube on that evening. So we'll put all that in. We're going to show you some clips as well in the coming weeks as well, over the next few days or so, of that interview as well. So you can get a little bit of a taster of what that interview is all about as well. Don't forget, the show itself has been nominated in the Non-League Bible Awards for Podcast of the Year. So please, if you can, go over to the Non-League Bible website and vote for the show Non-League Roundup. We'd be really, really grateful. We're up against some big hitters in there, so not expecting to win, but after 15 years of literally promoting non-league football, it would be nice to get a little bit back if we possibly can after 15 years. But from me and from Tommy as well, I'll see you next week. Good night.
Cheers, Dave.